Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
What's happening to us?
My daughter just turned 6 2 weeks ago.
Mom?
Whatever's happening to us is happening very fast.
You have wrinkles.
There's something wrong with this beach.
What's happening?
Mom! 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 I'm scared! We have to get off this beach.
People are blacking out going this way.
If she makes it to the ledge, she might have a chance.
Why is she stopping?
Why is she stopping? Carol, wake up!
Wake up!
They have to know what this place does.
I don't know!
You're lying!
Look!
What is that?
A message.
We never leave each other. Nothing separates us.
We're connected to something bigger.
Oh no. We're here for a reason.
That's the trailer for the movie Old. It sounds intense. It comes from a director and a writer who is known for big plot twists. We're going to be reviewing this movie with Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
The director and one of the writers of this film, Old, M. Night Shyamalan, is known for unexpected plot twists in his films. Does he have one in Old?
Yeah, there is. The whole entire film, in a way, is kind of a big conceptual plot twist, as it were, when compared to anybody's actual regular life. But there is one. So for people who are trying to place this director, M. Night Shyamalan, maybe the first place they would have come across him was 1999 when he made the movie The Sixth Sense. That one was a huge plot twist in that one near the end. You've watched a bunch of his movies. Have you watched a bunch of his movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like one thing about this director is that sometimes they're hits and sometimes they're misses. So he's not really too afraid of trying things, but they don't always work really great all the time. I think that he's kind of coming back to his form with this film. It's okay. It's in the middle of the pack as it goes, as far as his films are concerned.
I do want to get into the plot here, but
sure.
But a lot of times the experience of watching his films is you think you're watching one kind of movie, and then you realize, oh, I'm watching a completely different movie than I thought I was watching.
Right. And like for people who are unaware of this director, like I guess, you know, he can be kind of fun and kind of interesting. He's got some sensibilities that are a little bit like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. So in a way, a movie like Old, which we'll get into the details of in a second here, is a little bit like Lifeboat or Rope from Alfred Hitchcock, in that it all happens in one location, and it's got a pared down group of individuals, and a lot of the movie is their interactions with each other and them figuring out what's going on, and kind of like the unfolding plot of them kind of, particularly if you think of a movie like Lifeboat, them being stuck in a situation. And that Hitchcock movie, Lifeboat, is where the whole cast is primarily just on a lifeboat out in the ocean. This is the Atlantic crossing kind of stuff in World War II, and them being kind of adrift and having to deal with things. So in the same sort of way, you've got a cast of characters who are stuck in a situation and have to interact with each other and figure out what's going on. And that's kind of the undergirding kind of general thematic thing going on in the movie Old.
Give us a summary of the plot.
So there's a central family, and what happens is that due to targeting advertisement, they end up getting a trip to go to a tropical island resort, a new one. While they're there, they're treated by the host of the island resort to an exclusive excursion on a secluded beach, only to discover that the beach has properties that speed up their physical aging process. This is what I was talking about, where this is not what anybody actually experiences in their life. So this is kind of like the plot twist off the top. They're stuck there. They can't seem to get out. Then they also discover that they're being watched. So there's another kind of element going on in the film. So there's things going on. It taps into the fear of aging, fear of missing out, fear of death, these kinds of things. But they're not alone. There's on this little excursion, there's another family. There's a surgeon with his socialite wife and his mother and granddaughter. They're all kind of on this trip. And there's also a psychiatrist and her husband, who's a nurse. And then there's a rapper. They discover it was already on the beach and is stuck with them. So all of this kind of stuff is going on. The main family is a father who's an actuary named Guy. Priscia is the wife, and she's a museum curator. And then they have two children, and the children are 6 and 11 years old when they go on the trip, Trent and Maddox. And as they're stuck on the island, of course, because of the acceleration of the aging, they first start noticing that it's having the effect on the children, because, you know, you could have a friend in your life that you haven't seen for 2 or 3 years, you see them again, and maybe they don't look too much different from each other when you're adults. But there are certain points in a person's life where it becomes more obvious that they're aging. So for the families and the people caught on this island, they start noticing in the children first.
So how do they do that in terms of casting? How does he pull that off?
Well, it's a small number of characters, but a large number of actors. So what they do basically is they cast them at different ages and then have different actors playing the character as they age, not really for the adult characters, but for the kid character. And with the adult characters, they do some, you know, light age makeup related stuff. They don't. And the other kind of part of it is that if you're already suffering from some sort of chronic or terminal illness, and you would die prematurely in your life in general, of course, that would speed up as well on the beach. So that's kind of part of the general plot of the film as well. So for instance, the little boy Trent, who starts out as a 6-year-old, there's an actor, Alex Wolff, who plays him later in the film as he's reaching kind of teenage age adulthood as well.
So we're going to give away some details that if you want to watch it, you can come back and listen a little later to the preview. How does this obvious built-in tension, plot tension, resolve itself?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It kind of resolves itself in a bunch of different ways. I maybe we could say two central ways. So this is kind of one of those situations where he's adapted a kind of story that where characters put in this stressful, complicated, difficult situation, it brings out either the best in them or the worst in them. So one thing that we discover when we first, early on in the first act of the film, you discover that this guy and Priscia, the central family, the parents, they're on one last kind of family trip with their kids that's intended to be a fun family trip, but there is another shoe that's going to drop. And they had already decided that they were going to file for a divorce. And then it's also revealed that the wife has got cancer. And this is kind of part of it. There's some adultery and other things kind of going on in the background of all of it. But this is a bad situation. So they kind of arrive at this beach, sort of on the verge of having lost everything that they had before. And through the course of the film, what you get is, under those circumstances and pressures, they actually kind of rise to the occasion. When they realize that they may be stuck there for the rest of their life, they start to show signs of repentance and a desire to forgive each other and to soul search a bit and be honest with themselves in such a way that they are able to forgive each other. And that's really wonderful. Then on the other side of things, the surgeon character, Charles, with his socialite wife, Crystal, they're kind of on top of the world, as it were. He's a medical doctor, a surgeon, kind of the chief of surgery at a university hospital or something like that. and he has a lot to lose in the midst of it. And he starts to experience dementia, onset dementia early because of the speeding up of everything. And also all of the negative qualities of his character start to present themselves. Now, this might not be a big surprise to viewers. The character of Charles is played by Rufus Sewall, and I can only think of one movie. There's a movie called Dark City where he was the protagonist and not the bad guy, but pretty much every single film that he's ever been in, he plays the heavy, he plays the villain of some kind. And here he's another one of those characters that turns out in the end to be a villain. So you kind of have these two tracks. So put like in a situation of stress and tension, people either kind of go the path of righteousness or they go the path of wickedness. And this is what you're finding in the film.
Does anyone get out?
Well, that would be telling. No. They have multiple ways that they try to get out. And the idea of somebody getting out is very important to the twist and the way the twist goes. So maybe we'll retain that for anybody who hears this and thinks, maybe I should check it out.
We are reviewing the movie Old with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. When we come back, we'll talk about the fear of death.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie Old. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. So, Ted, let's talk about one of the themes that drives the story forward, and that is the fear of death.
Yeah, the fear of death, and actually kind of ancillary, and actually kind of maybe the fear of death is the B plot, and the fear of aging in general is the A plot, which I think is kind of interesting in this case. And I think maybe we talk a lot about the idea that, you know, people are not dealing well with the fear of death, and especially in these days where we've all been struggling with COVID-related questions of life and death in the last year and a half, that's been really top of mind. But I think that you could probably go back in the last, well, if you want to look at the baby boomer kind of crowd, for instance, there is sort of a, this is painting with a broad brush, so please forgive me, but I'm going to say that there's kind of a not really wanting to grow old. There's kind of a Peter Pan sort of thing going on in general. So indulge me for a second, but when you were a kid, you're a little older than me, not too much older, but when we were kids, old people dressed like old people and young people dressed like young people. Do you remember this? Like there was like almost like a kind of a collective dress code.
Sure.
And as a result of that, you know, you've got, you know, you had a significant times in somebody's life where they would transition. They would stop wearing the young people clothing and they would start wearing the old people clothing. And that meant that they were old and they accepted the fact that they are in a different season of their life. And I think that if anybody's paying attention over the last number of years, and this partly is due to the consumer culture of North America, is that it continues to cater similar products to a wider age range, is that there's just less kind of general transition to that extra change of life into a new season, if that's the case, if you could kind of imagine. I'm kind of noticing this. So I think of this as kind of a fear of aging, that old people don't embrace being old necessarily. They want to think of themselves as younger. And in fact, if you go back to the 1940s, let's say, or the 1950s, and you watch films, or even the late 30s, and you watch films, you'll have young characters like teenagers, and they dress quite old. Like they don't look like kids, in air quotes. And that's because there was a real desire not to be a kid anymore, but to be an adult. So then you dress the part. So this is kind of, I think, just on the giant fabric of North American culture, you could kind of see how this is kind of shifting around depending on what decade you're in as to what people are okay with. So a real part of this is like a character like Crystal, the socialite kind of trophy wife of Charles the Surgeon, she doesn't deal with aging very well. And then Charles himself, there's a kind of a throwaway line at one point in the movie where he sees her and he notices that she looks older. And his response is, put on some makeup. The other part that I think is interesting is kind of connected to the fear of aging is this fear of missing out. So if you see your kids suddenly go from being like 6 to being 16 to being 25, they've lost their childhood. Like they've been asked to grow up too quickly. And inside their minds, this is kind of the way that the beach works. Inside their minds, they're not really maturing as fast as their bodies. And this is an issue that you know the parents are concerned about and the kids are, you know, having to grapple with. And so it's this fear of missing out on things or realizing that you're losing years of your life stuck on this beach. And that, you know, even if you were to get out today, you would be X number of years older than you were and you would have missed out on all those years. So this is a very, in a way, the fear part of this is tapping in on the materialist sort of idea of the world in which you only have this life and that is it. So if this life is wasted, there's no more life to come. And that is, it's pressing on the fear buttons that particularly probably for people who have that outlook on life and their life in the world.
It strikes me that Shyamalan is, I believe, a Gen Xer. And the Gen Xers are finding themselves right now in the position where the boomers were about 30 years ago, realizing they're not going to be young for the rest of their lives. And Some of them adapted nicely to maturity, and others of them spent the rest of their life trying to live in denial of that. Does that seem to have something to, because he did in part write this movie, does that seem to be a little bit of what the director or writer is trying to express?
I could say that it was based originally on a graphic novel by this Pierre Oscar Levy called Sandcastle. And then M. Night Shyamalan did the screenplay for it. And he chose to do this project. So I think this is something where, yeah, I mean, it's something that I think Gen Xers are grappling with. Like, are they going to embrace the fact that they're getting older, or are they going to... we've talked so much in the last number of years about nostalgia in general. And nostalgia is kind of like a... when you look at the roots of what nostalgia means, it's like going home, but finding out that when you get there, you can't really go home. So there's kind of a grief connected to the idea of nostalgia. You can never really completely recapture that thing from the past. But, you know, we'll try our darndest to do that. And there's been a lot of nostalgia-related entertainment in the last number of years. And it proves its point quite often. It doesn't always do the thing, like capture the thing that it originally evoked in people. That is fleeting and not as successful as people might imagine. So I think that you could say that M. Night Shyamalan was... he would have to be cognizantly aware of it, so much so that he himself plays a bit part in it. So he has a little role in it, which is, again, this goes to his love of somebody like Alfred Hitchcock, who always found a little spot for himself in his films, even if it was just a walk across the screen or something. So there is a little spot for M. Night Shyamalan himself in this film, which then becomes kind of a part of... I could see how, you know, he would have to be thinking about all this while making the film himself.
So, Ted, what are your pastoral thoughts on the issue raised by this film, and that is getting old, aging?
Well, I think for, like, Christians watching the film, I think that, you know, going back into Scripture and looking at the way Scripture talks about age is not a bad thing, because that's what we want to set our feet on, is Scripture itself. That is what we know is true. So when we look at the world around us, we don't necessarily need to trust everything else that we see. So going back into the Old Testament, particularly when we think of that, there's some Bible passages that I jotted down that just to give people an idea of kind of the sort of thing you find in Scripture when it comes to age. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." So, you know, so much for the hair dyeing industry, right? Psalm 71, "My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." So in old age, you have from the Psalms here, like, if you have any anxiety about growing old, remember to pray to God. And you can pray a prayer like you find in Psalm 71. And then there's the promise back from God to you, like from Isaiah chapter 46, "Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and will bear you. I will carry and will save you." So God's not going to put you off just because you're old. God promises to take care of you, even when the rest of society might want to cast you off or cast you aside. So even at the very worst, if society decides that euthanasia is the route for you and forcibly tries to get rid of you in that manner, God's not going to cast you off just because you're old. And repeatedly you get these kinds of things in Scripture where there's promises from God. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 sets up that God's going to take care of you in a way in which old age is not something to be feared. In Proverbs 16, 31, you get gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. You know, like there's these great things that you, in terms of like old age is not something to be feared. Scripture keeps showing it to you as an example of the love of God towards you. And then also, like, for people who have these nostalgic tendencies, there's this great passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." So, and that is very interesting and something worth thinking about and puzzling over what that kind of means. So These are things that I think that are very important. And then also from the New Testament, you know, St. Paul talks about how we are not to lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So you see this in spades in this film. It's really focused and cleverly done and well done, showing the external aging of people. And that notion that, you know, the outer self is wasting away, but, you know, that even in the midst of that, there's these opportunities. So that one opportunity that they really capitalize in the film, where there is repentance, there is reconciliation, there is forgiveness between this couple, even while the rest of them, like their eyesight and the rest of them is like aging to the point near death, that really the internal things are very important in this as well. So these are things that are, I think, worth thinking about when it comes to a film like this. And if you're talking to somebody in your life that has seen this film, and you yourself have a good perspective on aging and death and what that all means as a Christian, particularly the promise of eternal life, everlasting life in Christ Jesus, you know, in your baptism and in the saving work of Christ, then you're going to be in a good place to talk to the person who does have anxiety about being older or does have anxiety about death. That this is something where you have good news, you have gospel news for them.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You'll find a link to Pastor Geese's movie reviews on the Talk On Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About Funerals with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll continue our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we'll talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religion. Then on Thursday, we'll be responding to Roman Catholic Proof Text with Dr. Stephen Parks, and we'll respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.